we're going to look again together at that first Christmas, and it may be helpful for you to have that last reading open in front of you, the one from Luke 2, starting at verse 8 there. We just sang, "While shepherds watched their flocks by night or seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around." It's a famous one. It's one that we probably know. It's one that's important to get right. We've probably heard the versions that go something like, "While shepherds wash their socks by night." Very famous. Rumours have swirled round ever since of what the shepherds were really doing that night. They're watching their flocks or watching ITV. The angel of the Lord came down, switched to BBC. You might have heard that one. Rumours everywhere. What were the angels doing that first Christmas night? What were the shepherds up to as they watched their flocks? And what do they have to do with Christmas? Let's start with the angels. We'll move to the shepherds and we'll see just how this sheds fresh light on the Christmas story. The birth of Jesus has just occurred. And there, some shepherds are doing exactly what you think they would be doing on a hillside near Bethlehem. They're looking after their sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord shows up. The glory of the Lord shines around these shepherds. And these shepherds, we don't have to guess what their reaction is, do we? They are terrified. They are filled with fear. They were just watching their flocks. They were just there doing their job. And suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel. Supernatural. And of course, the angel has to start with, "Fear not. Don't be scared." They always have to start with that when they show up in the Bible. And you can imagine the shepherds thinking, well, this is quite literally the most terrifying thing that I have ever experienced in my life. I just look after sheep. But the angel continues, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, wrapped in baby pajamas, lying in an animal feeding trough." It's good news of great joy. Jesus, the Saviour, Jesus, the Rescuer, Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Lord, the Christ, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. In verse 13, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly beings, multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The original angel then, joined by who knows how many more, thousands if not millions more. Elsewhere, the voices of angels are said to sound like the rushing wind. So imagine a host of them singing. It must have been crazy. The angels aren't singing to the shepherds, though, are they? They are singing to God. They're singing, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." Why were these angels praising God? Well, because of the arrival of Jesus in this way, weren't they? And because it is good news. They say it's good news for all people. They say that Jesus has come to save people. Jesus is going to do what angels can't. He's going to really save. And that's why the heavenly hosts are singing. You know, a little while ago, my wife Sarah, she was at a train station. She commutes in and out of London quite a lot. Uber were doing a promotional launch at Waterloo or somewhere one morning. And it was if you had over 4 stars as a passenger rating, you got to spin a wheel and get a voucher for a cinema ticket or something like that. Did you know that Uber drivers can rate you as a passenger and you get a passenger rating? So, you know, work on your chat in your Uber if you're doing so. But you get, over 4 stars, you get to win. Fair to say, Sarah, my wife, she won. She's got a great chat. She gets to spin the wheel. She gets a cinema voucher or something. What a great thing to add to your morning commute. If you were to give yourself a moral star rating, what would you give yourself? Go on.
Four stars.
Four stars. Well, we can't give ourselves five stars, can we? Because that would seem a little bit proud, and automatically it would kind of knock our star rating down. So we'd have to give ourselves something between one and four, wouldn't we? The Bible, though, shocking as it may sound, is pretty clear from God's perspective that we're actually all on zero stars. Each one of us has sinned. Each one of us has done wrong. Each one of us has gone our own way and not God's way. Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever lied? Have you ever thought something that was not good? Have you ever cheated? Maybe today we're acutely aware of that. The thought of it weighs us down. Something that we have done wrong, some way in which we go wrong. The effect of it is to place a barrier between us and God. A chasm, a divide. It is a broken relationship. No longer are we able to know God. No longer are we able to love God as we should, worship him as we should. We might be tempted to think, well, maybe God can overlook it. I've got a roughly four-star rating, perhaps, in my own eyes. Maybe God can just overlook it. A few little sins. What is a couple of lies to the Almighty God? I'm a good person, really. Oh, I've got good intentions, really. I really do want to do what is best, really. Well, if every thought, word, and deed in each of us were piled up, good versus bad, a lot of the ones that we think would be on the good side, actually, from wrong motives, wrong decisions, wanting to be seen to be good, they belong on the bad side too. The stacks are going to be pretty unevenly weighted. So what can we do? Well, we can't earn our way. We cannot earn our moral star rating to be better. The reality is, if there's a good list and a bad list, we're on the bad one. We may have tried our hardest, but we have failed miserably. And so Jesus is born. Not only that, but Jesus lives completely without sin. He's the only one to ever make it onto the good list. He's the only one to ever get the moral five stars, if you like. And Jesus is killed. Jesus is killed brutally on a cross. A death that the Roman Empire had perfected. It was deemed too terrible for Roman citizens, so it had to only be given to foreigners. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus was raised into new life, resurrected. And all of this was a sacrifice for us. So that, if you like, we could go on the good list under his name. He would take our name off the bad list, off the zero star rating, and say, no, he's my passenger. He comes under my five star rating. He gets my five star rating. I'll take his zero. So you might be thinking, hang on, this doesn't sound like the most Christmassy message for Christmas Eve. But that's why the angels were singing. That's why they're saying, praise God, glory to God. There's a saviour. There's a way in which the divide can be healed. And the angels say that this is a joyful news, wonderful news. So if this Christmas we're going through a tough time, we look back at a hard year, we look ahead with anxiety to the year ahead, we can have a bigger perspective. There is a wonderful reason to praise God this night and evermore, because we can be saved. Jesus is a saviour born to us. It's an offer on offer for you. And what about this joyful offer? You know, we love the joy of Christmas, don't we? Look around during Christmas time, and if you're filled with joy, if you think, yes, my Christmas is a joyful one, it is merry and bright, consider, well, thanking God for such a blessing, but ask, is it possible to have a joy like this forever? If we chase the feeling itself on this earth, we will always find it slipping out of our grasp. However, if we put our trust in Jesus, that is the promise. It will be rejoicing forever. Joy, unlimited and eternal. That's what the angels have to say that night of the first Christmas. What do the shepherds do with all of this? The angels go away, the shepherds are left standing there. I imagine there'd be something like, did that really just happen? It would have been surreal, wouldn't it? But verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph. They found Jesus lying in a manger. What did they do? They went and saw for themselves. And this is really worth noting, actually, that some uneducated shepherds on the hillside said, let's see it for ourselves. This is a great application for us. We can go and see for ourselves. I'm not saying time travel back to 0 AD and go and find Jesus ourselves. I'm saying that this is one of the amazing things about the Christian faith, is that this is evidence recorded. This is people seeing for themselves. Shepherds not simply taking this at face value. Shepherds concerned for the truth. These things are recorded. Jesus really was born. He really did live. He really did rise. He really did die. He really did rise. And there are witnesses to that all the way through. So it's unlike any other religion. It's not a private revelation to a single person. It's not myths and legends passed down. It's genuine revelation that was visible, walked the earth, and witnessed. So today, over a bit of time off in the Christmas break, rather than dismissing Jesus and his birth, rather than thinking it's worth asking some questions about but never actually looking for any answers, why not be a little bit like the shepherds this Christmas and maybe see for yourself? Come and see Jesus, the good shepherd who laid his life down for his sheep, who gave life, he gave his life that we might have the forgiveness of sins. So these written accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible here, why not have a look at one over Christmas? Ask yourself, who is Jesus really? Why did he come? What should I do about it? And so the shepherds go. They went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph, the baby lying in a manger. They saw it. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds probably wouldn't have been able to shut up about it, would they? They would have been going on and on about it. What the angel said is true. It's true. All of it. And then verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's an interesting one, isn't it? It really does also make the question of that famous Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know, kind of mute, doesn't it? Because Mary clearly knew. She was told. An angel had come to her. An angel had come to Joseph. An angel had come to the shepherds. And it's like, yeah, Mary had a pretty good idea eventually of what was going on. And so verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. All that had been told to them was true. And they've got a reason to rejoice. They've got a great reason to rejoice. What the angel said is true. Christ the Lord has been born. The Messiah, the rescuer, the Savior. It is good news of great joy. A shepherd has come who can lead his people to eternal life. A shepherd who is of royal descent. A shepherd who became the lowest in order to save the low. This would have been the very greatest news that these shepherds had ever heard. Not only that, but the fact that he is in the line of David, the greatest king of Israel, the city of David, the place of David, Bethlehem. This is a royal birth, isn't it? And these shepherds who get to be the first audience with the promised king, the conqueror of death, the victor over sin, the savior of God's people. They have the right response to Jesus, don't they? They leave praising and rejoicing. So maybe you like the idea of Jesus. Maybe you like the sound of Jesus, becoming low to save the low, poor to save the poor, telling us to love our neighbours, be nice this dark time of year. Perhaps part of you would like to keep him like that, a kind of moral lesson of do a bit better. The issue is that misses the point. To feel warm and fuzzy around our nativity scene, but to ignore the reality that Jesus is a promised rescuer, meaning that we are in need of rescue. Well, that's like sort of just removing Jesus from the nativity. It's like to remove the Jesus who lived, the Jesus who died in our place, the Jesus who rose again and reigns at his Father's right hand and will return to judge. So maybe that's you. Maybe you'd rather leave Jesus out of things. Keep the Christmas joy, the fun festivities, but leave him out of it. The angel shows us, though, that he is uniquely qualified to save. The shepherds see for themselves and go away rejoicing. They've got the hang of it. So why don't we each this Christmas time ask God to show us the true nature of this Saviour, our great need for him, and the joy that we can have forevermore because of that first Christmas. Let's pause for a moment, reflect on these things in our hearts, and then I'll lead us in prayer.